Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
On this episode of ID the Future, we're featuring clips of questions and answers with Wesley J. Smith and John West from the premiere of the War on Humans documentary. They briefly answer questions about the threat of the fringe element of the radical animal rights movement, the advance of animal rights proponents' political agenda, and the regulatory process that is creeping towards scientism.
At what point does the fringe movement become a real threat? And at what point does that percentage of people that buy into this kind of argument become a tipping point of sorts and a danger for society?
So that's a very good question. Unfortunately, much of what you saw in the film, it's not the same as the book. There are areas of convergence and are areas of difference. Is moving from the fringe into the mainstream. For example, nature rights is supported by the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, just as one example. Nature rights is proposed for the draft treaty to control global warming. I think you see in the global warming field a lot of anti-humanism expressed as a way of saving the planet. We're now even beginning to see moves, which isn't in the movie, toward something called ecocide, and this is discussed in my book, which would criminalize large-scale development of natural resources. They call it the fifth crime against peace, meaning it's the equivalent of genocide. It's the equivalent of ethnic cleansing. And we're not talking about, in the ecocide movement, things like the Exxon Valdez spill, you know, an environmental disaster. We're talking about the extraction of oil from the Alberta tar sands. In fact, in England, the Supreme Court chambers of England, they held a mock trial. And the mock trial was for ecocide. And two of the fictional CEOs or hypothetical CEOs found guilty and jailed for ecocide were extracting oil from the Alberta tar sands. And this is not only very dangerous in terms of chilling, you know, prosperity and thriving as the film discusses, but it is explicitly and implicitly anti-human because if in ecocide you have the individuals in a given territory, that's how it's defined, as having equal value. They're not talking about humans. They are talking about weeds and insects and frogs and snakes and eagles. So it's not as fringe as people think. And I think the great danger isn't that most people will buy into it, but that the people with power will buy into it. And it's also an excuse for people in power to actually increase their power and increase their control of a free society.
Is the real motivation to, quote-unquote, save the animals, the bugs, the plants, the flowers, and other things, or is the motivation a separate political ideology, aka communism, socialism, something along those lines?
I think you have both. I think if you take a look at the animal rights movement, which must always be distinguished from animal welfare, animal rights holds that humans and animals have the same moral value. Often animal rights is used way too loosely, when what is meant is animal welfare, that is treating animals properly. I think many of the people in the animal rights movement are true believers in that cause, particularly people for the ethical treatment of animals and that type of organization. I think there are people who are pushing for nature rights and ecocide that are true believers. It's almost a neo-earth religion, if you will. Then there are others who see the potential for money and power and control. It depends, either or both.
Question was about the regulatory process and whether the regulatory process also moves this ideology forward.
Well, I think absolutely so. The regulatory process has, in my view, and this is beyond the scope of what we're discussing, but it has become unaccountable and is separated from any kind of direct control of the people. We are developing a technocracy, and it's ruled by experts. And the problem with that, at least for me, and this is an editorial comment again, it's Wesley Smith, it's not the Discovery Institute, it's not the book, but if you look at most of the problems we see in this country, in this world today, there's an expert behind it.
Actually, I just say that is largely the view of the expertise is good, but C.S. Lewis actually talked about what he called technocracy. And the problem with that is not that you don't need expert knowledge. Of course you need expert knowledge. Of course you want that. But just because you're expert on some technical aspect of a problem, good public policy and justice involves what things are having at worth price, at what price, and involves moral judgments in addition to technical judgments. And so just because you're a brilliant scientist, for example, or a brilliant bureaucrat, or a brilliant public policy person, doesn't mean that you have all of the things that need to come to bear on making a just and good decision. And so this idea that we should just rely on unaccountable experts that is increasingly heard throughout our government, actually, where public officials are made to feel ashamed. Elected public officials, whether it be school board members or you name it, or legislators. Well, you're not an expert, therefore, you don't even have the right to ask a question of the experts. You see this, and again, I have no clear view on the global warming issue, but from the technocracy standpoint, I think it is very disturbing from the standpoint of a free society when you have people basically arguing, well, the government should do regulatory-wise whatever this certain group of scientists says, even if there are some scientists who disagree, and anyone who even asks questions, say like in a congressional hearing, to ask people to respond to, well, here are these other scientists equally credentialed to make this argument. Can you respond to that? These, you know, legislators are demonized as being anti-science for, in fact, pursuing the evidence and actually trying to understand the basis for why public policy should be a certain way. And so I think this whole issue of technocracy is very undermining of the sort of system set up by our founding fathers.
And John has done some extremely good work on scientism, which misuses science. Science is a very powerful and important force, but it's a method of obtaining and applying knowledge. It can't tell us what's right. It can't tell us what's wrong. The science can tell us what a human embryo is, that it's a nascent human organism. It can't tell us whether that nascent human organism has moral value. That lies in philosophy, that lies in values, that lies in religion, and so forth. And so what we find in terms of the technocracy is that supposed science is actually scientism. It is coming in with a certain ideology and a moral value, and it's pretending to be the method which everybody respects. And so there is a distinction, and I think John made it very well in the last answer. And we see it in terms of the war on humans. You do see a lot of people in the high academy, in the technocracy, the David Attenboroughs, the ruling class, some people would call them, who do accept these agenda items, say that they are actually the pro-science people, when what they're really talking about is imposing their ideology in an undemocratic fashion, pretending that it's objective science when it isn't.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.